about that officer shooting. COPPA released a statement today. The video is out, and Mayor Johnson is speaking.
Transparency. Attempts to withhold or delay information are mistakes of the past, and we have already taken concrete steps to start a full investigation into this case. I have directed Garion Gatewood, my Deputy Mayor of Community Safety, to work with our Community Safety Coordination Center to provide services to residents of the Garfield Park community.
The officers, the mayor has said, are on a 30-day leave that were involved in the shooting.
To provide mental health crisis support and trauma support to community members. We have also been monitoring the physical and mental health of the injured officer and ensuring he has the best care as well. But there is still much more work to be done in terms of building trust between our communities and police, and my administration is committed to doing just that. It will not be easy. But we will not rest, and the only way we can build trust is through accountability. We will not rest until that accountability has been met. And without true accountability and without constitutional policing, there will never be trust between communities and the police. And without trust, we will never be safe. Without trust, our communities will never be safe. My administration cannot do this alone, however. We will need the help of our faith leaders, our elected leaders, our community partners, and everyone across this great city. Our city needs all of us, and our children need all of us in order to stop the violence.
I'll let the newsroom continue to monitor that. If the mayor gets into some of the specifics of what happened, why it happened, and what the next step is going to be. But among the text messages, and if you're just joining us, last month a man was pulled over for not wearing a seatbelt. And when he did not cooperate with police officers who came upon him from all sides with their guns drawn and they said, open the door, open the door, open the door. He didn't open the door. It appears as though a shot was fired from inside the vehicle at the officers, and officers returned 96 bullets in 41 seconds. The man was shot dead. The video is out there now. Among the text messages, John, obviously multiple cops don't stop you for a seatbelt infraction. There's more to the story that's not being told. We just have to wait until we find out what that is. That's a fair point. One of the stations in town is reporting that at the time of the shooting, Reed, that's the man that was shot, was facing charges for illegally possessing a firearm in Chicago last summer. A Chicago police report states that Reed was arrested last July after he allegedly was caught carrying a .357 Magnum in his pants pocket while walking into a street festival. He was in court on that gun charge less than 2 weeks before this fatal encounter with Chicago police. And Jamal Green, the activist, says, trigger warning, officers claimed they pulled Dexter Reed over for a seatbelt, except the windows were tinted. So if they could not see in for a seatbelt violation, then maybe the reason they pulled him over is because, you know, you finished that sentence. But if by license plate they knew who this guy was, it doesn't say, though, that he was wanted, that he was supposed to be in custody at the time. So Green asks, where were the officers coming from? Why did they stop him? He committed no crime. Did they announce their office when approaching him? Why so many shots after the threat was neutralized? Officers discharged 96 shots. I'll go back to what I said earlier. Those are all fair questions, and it doesn't seem to be as transparent as maybe the mayor or the police department wants it to be. That is, yeah, he was in violation. He didn't wear a seatbelt. We told him to get out of the car. Are you ever asked to get out of the car because you violated a seatbelt law? And that's when they were shot at and they returned gunfire. But if the windows were tinted, then one wonders how they were able to know that. John, the police officer was shot. Why are we even having this conversation? And we're having this conversation because this is the way it happens now. if somebody else gets shot and killed, the police, there's something called the it's COPA, the A stands for accountability. The police have to be able to explain their actions. It doesn't mean that the officers were wrong, but it does mean there has to be accountability. That's what the mayor was talking about. It's so frustrating on both sides, and I know a lot of you will take a side on this, and I hate to be somebody who sees it both ways because that's frustrating, but it's not always a thumbs up or thumbs down situation. The guy's pulled over. Maybe he shouldn't have been pulled over. He's got tinted windows. The cops aren't being truthful about pulling him over for a seatbelt violation. I'm just summarizing here. I'm theorizing. They say, open the door, open the door. They shout it with a lot of vulgarities laced in there at length, open the door. And he doesn't open the door. Nothing good happens when you don't cooperate with the police. And then it appears as though he fires first, and then it's game on. 96 shots in 41 seconds. So that's the latest on that. Eric Zorn is the publisher of the Picayune Sentinel, a weekly newsletter containing commentary, comedy, and more. You know, search for Picayune Sentinel online, or you can just email ericzorn@gmail.com, and he'll sign you up for the free weekly newsletter. Pay a little bit, and you get the premium service. Hi, Eric Zorn. How are you?
I'm good, John. Thanks.
Well, all kinds of stuff to talk to you about today. Where do you want to start?
Well, I'm interested in what people are saying about this release of the video from the Office of Police Accountability. There are numerous videos of Dexter Reed being shot and killed by Chicago police, and the mayor is very upset about it. And I've watched some of the videos myself. I haven't been able to watch all of them. They posted a whole bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things that jump out at me about this story, I don't know how you're reacting to it, but first of all, the fact that they pulled him over for not having his seatbelt on, it just seems like a stop that didn't need to be made. That of all the things going on in the city, pulling someone over for not wearing a seatbelt is probably not a good use of police powers. The second is that...
Have they offered a different explanation for why they pulled him over? Because the windows, I saw the video, and it looked like the windows were tinted. So I'm not sure that the police even knew that his seatbelt wasn't fastened. That just sounds like a ruse. Well, we pulled, a taillight out, a seatbelt violation. I wonder what else they're going to come up with for five squad cars pulling a guy over for a seatbelt violation.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me. And I just, it makes me wonder whether this is, there's a little bit of racism involved in the policing there. I will say, though, that, Dexter Reed rolled his window up and then apparently fired the first shots. And when you fire the first shots at police officers, they're going to unload on you. And these officers, clearly, they shot 96 times, according to the news reports I've seen.
In 41 seconds.
And killed him. And, the obvious lesson here is that if you don't shoot at police officers, you're going to stand a better chance of surviving these encounters. I thought that the mayor might have wanted to underscore a little of that in his remarks this morning. They seemed very concerned about the race of the victim and the race of the officer who was shot. And I just didn't, I thought that it was not, there was not enough of like, let's teach our young people, teach everybody, let's remind people of the proper ways to behave during a traffic stop that are going to likely result in a warning or maybe a ticket, but not any loss of life.
Ta-da! Problem solved.
Is that too Pollyanna? I watch him.
There's plenty of racism out there, and a lot of and I'm not naive to the fact that people of color get treated differently than middle-aged white men. I get it. That's a huge problem that will never be solved by not opening up the door and getting out of a vehicle with tinted windows. To say nothing of firing first on police officers, then it's game on. But I understand that there's a discrepancy, but not cooperating with the police when they are screaming at you to do something will never have a positive outcome. That's not Pollyanna.
it's never going to end well. And again, I do question the necessity of this traffic stop. If there was more to it than we know, and they really had a good reason to pull this guy over, I just think that when you're in a city like ours, an environment like ours, someone's not wearing their seatbelt, you know, okay, not wearing their seatbelt. Let's move on to other things here. I wonder why they pulled him over. I don't think they should have, knowing what I know now. Obviously, though, when you roll the window up, when the officers are telling you to roll the window down, it's a really bad idea, and it's an extremely bad idea to get out your gun and start shooting. So I don't, you know, what are the lessons here? There seems to be this sense that people are going to be outraged and rioting about it. And, you know, you and I have seen a lot of these videos over the years, a lot of these stories, and some of them, I thought the Jason Van Dyke shooting Laquan McDonald was outrageous conduct by the police. Here, I don't think it was. I mean, you got to say, well, why did they shoot 96 times? And the answer is that I've heard from police before, which is like, you don't just, you know, fire a couple of warning shots when someone is shooting at you, that you go, you respond in a very, very strong manner. And that's what you saw here. I don't think that the city is going to erupt in violence and protest over this, but, you know, I could be wrong.
Well, it is different than the Laquan McDonald case. It's different than George Floyd. If the if the video is as it appears, you fired first at police officers and they can't see very clearly what you're doing inside because your window is up and tinted, then I'm sorry. Then the police officers aren't supposed to just stand there and be willing targets for you. But I will read you this text. 847 says, John, does an officer always approach a car screaming, unlock the door? If that's the way the CPD are trained, then there is a problem. Sitting here right now, that just seems like a very thin explanation for why this man was pulled over. Seatbelt violation. Maybe he had the window down. I don't know what the weather was like that day. And they noticed as they drove by that he didn't have his seatbelt on. And then they decided then and there, we've got to stop this guy. But none of that passes the smell test. Now, maybe there was a warrant for his arrest, or I don't know the answer to that. Maybe there was some other logical police reason to pull him over. But right now, we don't know what that is. And if the mayor said it at that press conference, I didn't hear it.
No, I didn't hear it either. And they've had several weeks. This happened in March. So they've had quite a while to have formulated this story. And the story that was put out, the official statement that was put out, said it was for not wearing a seatbelt. And that has to just, that does have to anger people because there is a tradition. There is a problem with racial imbalance and traffic stops. But, at the same time, the overall lesson here has got to be that, you know, when you're pulled over by police, you just cooperate with what they're doing, because the odds of you being beaten up or murdered or whatever in a situation like that are vastly reduced if you're cooperating. And a lot of these situations happen. They're touched off by people who are thinking that they can somehow avoid or disobey police when they're making reasonable lawful orders. Whether it's reasonable to stop somebody for a seatbelt is one question. But once you're stopped, They're gonna want you to show your hands. They're gonna want you to roll the window down. They're gonna want to see your license and registration. And it's just got to be yes sir or ma'am, no sir or ma'am, and give them what they're asking for, because you're just not gonna. It's not gonna end well if you think you're gonna defy them.
It's almost like these are two separate stories. Story number one is, to what degree should story number one is, should the police be pulling you over because you didn't have your seatbelt fastened? There's just something fishy about this. I don't know what the cops are looking for, why they pull this guy over, but most of us don't get pulled over or treated that aggressively. So that's one thing. But number two is, if you don't cooperate with the police, and this is the story that I think more of us can relate to, one of my listeners said, John, I was recently stopped by the police for not wearing my seatbelt. I was stopped by the police for not wearing my seatbelt. I was asked to get out of the car. I complied. I got out of the car. The police officer wrote me a ticket. Everybody went on their way. And that's almost the more compelling story, because therein lies the opportunity for life or death. Cooperate with the police.
Right.
Cooperate with the police.
And of course, you know, the obvious question someone's going to ask is your listener white or black?
White.
And
I'm going to guess they were white.
Right. And black people do have far different experiences with encounters with police. Let's not discount that. But even still, if you're getting more attitude, more hostility, more racism from the officer stopping you, you're not going to prevent that or have a better outcome if you decide to confront them or defy them. It's just sort of basic truth to life that we've seen over and over again in these situations where when you have these police shootings, it is usually when someone is resisting a technically lawful stop.
Mayor Johnson said things like, as the mayor and father raising a family, including two black boys on the west side of Chicago, I'm personally devastated to see yet another black man lose his life during an interaction with police. But I'll quote from Alice Yin here, who tweeted at the end, Johnson implores the public to remain peaceful and not lead our city down a path of division. Mayor also makes his most direct comment on the shooting. Shooting a police officer can never be condoned. I will never stand for that, and neither will the city of Chicago. I'm anxious to hear why they pulled him over. Maybe that came out in the press conference. I've been sitting here while it happened, but what if the answer is a seatbelt violation, then I'm sorry. Then this is really unfortunate.
I guess the question you would have to ask is once the confrontation began, once this all began unfolding, did the police do anything wrong at that point? I mean, I'm not saying it was wrong to pull him over for a seatbelt, but it certainly seems ill-advised.
Right, so what are the options? So what are the options the police have then? So, okay, we have a non-cooperative person behind a tinted window here who's not opening up his door. We've pulled him over for a seatbelt violation. We don't want to get shot. An officer was, and this guy probably doesn't want to die, and he did. So I wonder what the other ways to handle this are. A police officer was shot. A police officer was shot. The cops don't want to get shot. I wonder what else the cops can do in that scenario to avoid that.
Yeah. You're right. This isn't a case where, like, if it only had a taser or something like that. They were too far away to use a taser on this man when he's shooting out the window at them. And the question is, what should they have done? If you replay this entire situation and say, okay, should they have not? Okay, so they shot 96 times. Maybe they should have shot 40 times. Maybe they should have waited to see what happened. I mean, because the shooting was relentless, and it seemed like it was going on well after Dexter Reed was down and immobilized. But again, you don't want to take chances, especially when another cop has already been shot. Now, I guess that, you know, that officer was not badly wounded, but they didn't know that at the time either. I mean, it really looked like a shootout. And they didn't know, I guess, they didn't know whether there was someone in the back seat.
100%. 100%. I mean, you know, when you watch and listen to the video, you hear one of the officers, you can hear her breathing and her screaming, and you feel the adrenaline, and it's happening right now in real time. These are life and death seconds. And I don't blame the officers for returning fire. But you also understand, or at least you get the sense, of why so many bullets were fired. First of all, it was just 40-some seconds. And second of all, it's positively terrifying. It's such an emotional moment that they are bam, 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 bam. That's what happened. From a local state's attorney's office, hey, John, tinted windows are illegal if you cannot see in. They could have pulled him over for that alone if they wanted. Interesting point, yeah. And the front windshield is not tinted usually. So perhaps an officer coming by could see that the person didn't have their seatbelt on, and you could have pulled him over for that. If he is wanted on some gun, you know, if he's wanted for some existing violation, if there's a warrant out for his arrest, say, then of course pull him over. Tell me that, and I'll stop asking why did they pull him over? Really, for a seatbelt violation? Okay, let's talk about some other things. Eric, you got another minute with me?
Of course I do.
You talked about the men's and women's basketball championship games.
Yeah, the women's game was terrific. It was a really fun game to watch. The men's was a little less fun to watch. You just could see that Connecticut was outclassing Purdue most of the way. I mean, right at the beginning, Purdue jumped out to a lead, but boy, that Connecticut team is just stacked.
Yep.
And it wasn't very interesting. And you know, and South Carolina was clearly a better team than Iowa. It was interesting to me that they named Camilla Cardozo from South Carolina as the most outstanding player of the NCAA tournament, which I thought was very strange. I mean, yes, her team won, but Caitlin Clark averaged 30 points a game and Cardozo averaged 17. Clark had 8.7 assists during the tournament and Cardozo had 1.4. And Cardozo just had three more rebounds per game than Clark did. I don't understand why you name someone just because they're on the winning team, the outstanding player of the tournament. Clearly, it was Clark.
Well, isn't that it? You just answered your question. If you're so damn good, then why don't you win the championship, Missy?
Well, the MVP. Well, she can't carry the team all by herself. But the the MVP in baseball is not always on the World Series champion, for instance. So I thought it was a strange choice. But I think we just have to take a step back and realize how important this effect has been for Caitlin Clark and the women's basketball. You know that she has really raised the profile of the sport in a way that no one has yet to do. And then there are a lot of great women players who preceded her, but there's something about the way she plays that is really compelling. And it is basically these, 35-foot shots that she takes and makes so frequently. That's really what sets her apart, what makes her so irresistible to watch. And anyone's looking for, like, why Caitlin Clark and not some of the other great players, it's because she astounds you with what she does. She's not just a great player. She's just astonishing, and she also passes really well. So it's a special talent, and I'm wondering whether we're going to see something like that in women's golf coming up. That this woman Nelly Korda has won four straight tournaments, and she just might be one of those people who's going to capture the imagination, because I think sports need superstars. You can't just have a really, there was a quote from Paige Beckers from Connecticut talking about how this is a team game and we're team players and people should watch the team. And that's a nice sentiment. But really, the truth is that we love to watch phenomenal athletes. We love to watch superstars. And so when you had a Tiger Woods making a grand slam all the time and just about winning every tournament, it seemed like. And now you've got someone like Nelly Korda in the LPGA, which is it's sort of an obscure sport in a lot of ways. I mean, compared to a lot of other sports, but if you have a superstar, someone you got to watch, is where you're going to get the fans filling the seats.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Even on the men's side, it was Bird and Jordan and Johnson that sort of saved the NBA, and those were superstars. They made you interested in the Celtics and the Lakers and the Bulls. And, I think an interesting question that I'm seeing posed today is, will this last? Now that Caitlin Clark is out, is everybody that excited about seeing Juju Watkins? Maybe, but maybe not. There's a lot of things that happen that the Iowa women's basketball program and Caitlin Clark benefited from. The internet, NIL, the race issue, it being a Big Ten team, all of those sort of landed in that one spot called Caitlin Clark, to say nothing of just her incredible ability. And I also think her fearlessness. She would take shots, even when she missed them. You thought, wow, that is a confident person who's putting those shots up there.
Well, you and I both play a little bit of pickup basketball in our time, John, and we both know that a 35 to 40 foot shot is just—it's really hard to get it to the rim.
Yes,
and it's really hard to make it. And the fact that she confidently hoists them up in these big games and often hits them—it's really compelling. And yes, you can have someone who's dominating from even a 3-point line, but when you have someone who just, you can't take your eyes off her playing, and I think that's the secret to it. I don't think it has so much to do with any of these other factors like Big Ten and all that. I think that it's just that the astonishing length of the shots that she puts up.
We're out of time. That's Eric Zorn, the publisher of the Picayune Sentinel. Email ericzorn@gmail.com. He'll sign you up, and you'll hear this and other conversation with Eric and me and a panel of really smart, interesting people when we do the Mincing Rascals podcast tomorrow. Nice to talk to you today.
Brad.
Say it again.
With Greg Pratt tomorrow.
Oh, yes. Gregory Pratt has written a book about Mayor Lori Lightfoot, and he will join us on the podcast. That'll be a fun one. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, John.